Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear saints of God, if Christ had not been raised from the dead, would that make any difference? Suppose for a moment that it could be absolutely, certainly proven that Jesus did in fact not rise from the dead that Easter morning 2,000 or so years ago. Would that change anything for you? Several years ago, there was a documentary called The Lost Tomb of Jesus. It was created by the guy who found the Titanic at the bottom of the ocean. In the documentary, it claimed to have discovered the lost tomb of Jesus, which they have found the ossuary or the bone box of Jesus. That would obviously mean that Jesus didn't actually rise from the dead. Well, the documentary was poor scholarship at best, and there were actually later fraud charges filed because of some of the artifacts found in the tomb. But nonetheless, when the documentary was released, they had a news crew going to man-on-the-street interviews, and they were asking Christians, if Christ has not raised from the dead, would that affect your faith? And many of them said, no, not at all. My faith is strong enough to believe, even if Christ has not been raised from the dead. Now, at this juncture, it would be important for us to define a few things. Faith is not the belief of something that would otherwise be foolish to believe. This seems to be the most common misunderstanding about faith, but it's not biblical. It's actually a very man-centered view of faith, because it basically boasts that one is so resilient or so strong or so willful that they could believe in something no matter what. Well, rather than that, faith is the belief of God's promises. That if God says something, then it is true. But that faith is founded upon a reality that things actually happened. So to say, my faith wouldn't be affected even if Christ hadn't been raised from the dead, is to say the resurrection of Christ doesn't really matter. It doesn't make a difference. Let me ask it a different way. Would it make a difference if Christ hadn't died on the cross? If Christ hadn't shed blood to cover your sins? Well, yes, that would make a difference. Because if it hadn't happened, then I am still in my sins. And Scripture says that exact same thing about the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes, if Christ has not been raised, then we are still in our sins, and we are of all men to be pitied. So you see, the historical events of Christianity matter because those events are upon which God bases his promises. When God promises to you the forgiveness of sins, it's in light of the fact that Christ has died for you. When God promises your salvation, it's in light of the fact that he has been raised from the dead. Faith simply believes what God says is true. My faith doesn't establish a truth. My faith receives what is true based upon what has been established. So that Christian doctrine has been established not upon some mythical story, but Christian doctrine has been established on things that actually happened in this world, in time and in space and in observable environment. But just as your faith is not believing despite historical realities, neither is faith believing in those historical realities themselves. That you could believe that the tomb was empty Easter morning but still not believe in the forgiveness of sins. In our gospel lesson today, we find two men walking along the road to a village named Emmaus. These two men were talking about the events of the resurrection, as I'm sure everyone was that morning. Suddenly, Jesus shows up and starts talking with them, but they don't realize that it's Jesus. And so Jesus plays along. So, what's new? And they're surprised that Jesus hadn't heard the news. It would maybe be like coming across someone today who hadn't heard about the coronavirus. You would ask, "Where have you been?" Everyone knows what's going on. Well, news travels fast about the resurrection of Jesus. And keep in mind that all the Jews are already gathered in Jerusalem for the Passover anyway. So by this time, everyone knew that the tomb was empty. And so these two men say, "Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." Now you see, this was the talk of the town. People weren't questioning whether or not the tomb was empty. That was the undeniable fact. But these two men, though they knew the tomb was empty, were still downcast and in sorrow, the text says. They were gloomy because they thought that, well, Jesus came to save them, but nothing seemed different. Pain is still pain. Death is still death. They're still under the oppression of the Roman government. Nothing seems to have changed. And in all of this, Jesus says to them, "O foolish ones, slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." You see, just providing the historical event of the resurrection doesn't mean anything until you believe what it means. What the resurrection means for you. No one in this account was denying the resurrection, but they were still gloomy. They were gloomy because they didn't believe what the scriptures taught. And that's when Jesus opens their eyes. Jesus reveals to them all that the scriptures taught. You know what Jesus taught them? Jesus taught them that all of the scriptures were talking about him. That when God commanded people to keep the Passover wasn't about them, it was about Jesus. That when God commanded people to keep the Sabbath, it wasn't about them ceasing work, it was about Jesus, who is our Sabbath, our rest. And when Jesus told Moses to hold that serpent up in the wilderness, it was a foreshadow of Jesus on the cross. And when God told the people to get a lamb sacrifice that was unblemished, that was about Jesus, who is our perfect sacrifice without a single sin. We could keep going on and on and on. This is what Jesus meant when he told the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures thinking in them you have eternal life. It is they that testify of me." Everything God was doing with Israel in the Old Testament, every time he saved the people from bondage, every time he guided them to win in battle, every time he gave them land, it was all about Jesus. Because Jesus was going to be born of this family in the line of Abraham. And after all, Jesus can't be born of this family if the family is all killed. So God takes care of Israel for the salvation of the world. How are you different from those Pharisees? How are you different from those men on the road to Emmaus? We have the Holy Scriptures. We have God's holy word given to us, and yet we twist them and we contort them, every verse, to make it somehow all about us. We're always looking for the secret code to unlock the key to happiness. We want the verse for the day to empower us so that we don't have to suffer. We want the Bible to tell us, like a self-help book, what to do. But what the Scriptures are really all about is Jesus, who has done it all for you. We have this terrible problem of making everything about us. We hear the promises of God and what he has done, and we immediately turn it back around on ourselves. So that Christ has forgiven you, and I accepted it. Christ has fulfilled the law for you, so you better live for him. Jesus loves you no matter what, so you better keep a strong relationship with him. You see how we always turn it all about us. But for once, let's not talk about your acceptance or your trusting or your relationship. Let us hear what Jesus has done and his promise. That what he's done and his promise, and just say amen. Just say thank you. Don't make it about you. Because the fact of the matter is, God became a man. He enjoined himself to the creation that he made, the creation that rebelled against him. And you too rebel against him every day, and he knows there's a punishment for that, so he took such rebellion upon himself that he did not want you to be separated from him. So in the person of Jesus, God took all punishment for sin and death upon himself. It sounds odd to say it, but it's true. In Jesus, God died. And he died so that you don't have to. That on the third day, he burst from the tomb, proving that death does not have the victory. That he won for you eternal life with him. That no sin could ever stand between you and God, because nothing can separate you from him. And that God says to you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what the resurrection means. And that's an historical event. And yet it means something for you. That these are those promises of God, the forgiveness of sins, salvation from the devil, and life in heaven with him. And to make sure that you know this gift, that this accomplishment of his is now yours, he doesn't now put the onus back on you, that God is still the actor here. To assure you that everything that Jesus has done is for your good. He brought you to the waters of holy baptism. He took plain old water and he combined it with this powerful word and applied it on your head with these words, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He made everything that Jesus did on the cross and he made it yours. In those waters, he has put you to death and placed you in the grave with all of your sins. And it was in those waters he gave you a resurrection to new life in him. And that is but a foreshadow of the resurrection of our mortal bodies that comes on the last day. The two men on the road to Emmaus were gloomy, because they still had to deal with pain and suffering and death. But God had opened their eyes, and they saw that though pain and suffering and death still exist in this world, what Christ had done was win for them the final victory in which suffering is ended and which death is destroyed. That's what the resurrection means. That's what Jesus has done for you in the forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.